Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but those throughout the world who tune in on the network, the internet, Radio 4, the World Service, Radio 7, or wherever. And we welcome also to the show four exciting, extraordinary, exceptional, talented players of the game, who once more are going to pit their wits, their verbal ingenuity and dexterity, their humorous inventiveness, as they speak on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four people are, seated on my right, the lovely Pam Ayres, and beside her, the amazing Clement Freud, and seated on my left, the gorgeous Julian Clary, and beside him, the delightful Tony Hawks. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me with the score, blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the New Theatre, which is that magnificent edifice in the centre of that amazing city of Oxford. And we have a great, exciting audience drawn from all quarters of this noble county come to cheer us on our way as we begin the show with Clement Freud. And Clement, the subject is Double Dutch. What a come down when you mention Oxford, you get a double Dutch. But that's the subject, Clement. Speak on it for 60 seconds if you can, starting now.
Double Dutch tends to mean gibberish, but also an accumulation or a superfluity of people from Holland. A Dutch uncle putting into a Dutch oven a Dutch cap while outside the house. The elm tree has Dutch disease. That's the sort of double Dutch which I thought you'd want to hear.
June and Jerry, you challenged.
We had a hesitating
We did have a hesitation there, so you have a correct challenge, Julian, and you have a point for that. You take over the subject. There are 36 seconds still available. Double Dutch is with you starting now.
If you went on a weekend break to Amsterdam and you met two Dutchmen, took them back to your hotel, you could experience double Dutch, which is one interpretation of the phrase, which really, as we all know here present, means gobbledygook, where people are talking in a very highbrow, falutin way, or possibly if they're intoxicated with drink or drugs. They will be talking double Dutch to you, and you will maybe nod politely, smile, and move on to the next person in the hope that they're not going to be double Dutch in the same manner as your previous conversationalist.
In this game, whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion was Julian Clary. In fact, he's the only one to get any points in that round, so he's naturally in the lead. And Pam Ayres, will you take the next round? Life on the ocean wave. That is the subject. Tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now.
I have always hated sailing ever since a bloke called Fred invited me to have a go at it on Farmore Reservoir in his boat. I don't know what sort it was, but it was heavily varnished.
Julian, you challenged.
Hesitation
again.
Yeah,
I'm afraid there was a hesitation, Pam. And they wanted to hear more about your life on the ocean wave, but Julian got in first. 44 seconds, Julian. Life on the ocean wave, starting now.
Years ago, a life on the ocean waves was all the rage, and if you hung around Portsmouth, the streets were full of discharged seamen. But it's never...
Clement, you challenged.
That is deviation.
No, I think it was probably accurate. I think he made a statement which was misinterpreted by all the audience. But it's correct. I mean, there would be a lot of seamen who've been discharged from the service who'd be hanging about in the streets there looking for work.
Don't go
they?
On about, yeah. I think we've had our answers.
Julian, it was an incorrect challenge. You have another point, and you have 36 seconds. Life on the ocean waves starting now.
A life on the ocean waves has never appealed to me because I get seasickness. I'd be hanging over the side, vomiting most of the time, which is not really any way to spend your days or indeed your nights. A life on the ocean waves, and maybe you get used to the motion of the ocean, but I'm not sure.
It's only a challenge.
Actually, I made an incorrect challenge, but I'm going to come up with something cunning. Because I think he's repeated... The subject is life on the ocean wave, and he keeps saying waves.
Oh, so, for goodness sake.
Well, I... Yeah, you know, well, I haven't said anything yet. I've got to get in somewhere.
But if I said waves several times, several waves are waves, if you see what I mean.
No, I mean, Fred, that is the way we play the game, Julian. If it's a singular on the card and you use a plural, I'm afraid that's a correct challenge.
Well, be quiet then.
19 seconds are available for you with a correct challenge and a point to you, of course, Tony. Life on the ocean wave starting now.
People will be interested to learn that this show is actually recorded, and as I'm speaking now, Ellen MacArthur is in...
Julian, challenge.
This is nothing to do with the life on the ocean wave.
Ellen MacArthur is. She's right on the ocean wave.
Oh, well, that woman on a boat.
Yeah. Yes, well,
yeah, it just about sneaks in as yes. being about it.
Yes. She wants,
In fact, if she hasn't had too bad a weather at this particular time, she could be approaching Falmouth within an hour or two.
How exciting.
Of this recording. And so by the time the show goes out, you'll know whether she made it or not, or broke the record.
I do hope so.
Why, has she got home? She's got back! Wonderful!
People at home in 3 weeks' time thinking, you hear it there first.
So, Tony...
Ellen who?
Ellen, an incorrect right. challenge that was, so you keep the subject. 13 seconds, life on the ocean wave, starting now.
When Mike Yarwood did his impression of Edward Heath, he always used to sing a life on the ocean wave and move his shoulders up and down in an extraordinarily amusing manner.
Julian Challenge.
I think he used to sing a life on the ocean waves.
He did actually sing Life on the Ocean Waves. So you see, Julian, you got back in on the same sort of premise in which you were challenged. And you've got it back with 2 seconds to go. Life on the Ocean Wave starting now.
It must be a lovely life on the ocean wave.
So, Julian, Claire, it was again speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point of others in the round. He's got a strong lead there. Tony Hawkes has got a couple of points. The other two have yet to score. And, Julian, it's back with you. It's your turn to start. And this subject is my favourite poem. Will you tell us something about that in this game starting now?
I can tell you that my favourite poem in all the history of literature is Sonnet 94 by a chap called William Shakespeare. Shall I recite it for you? Yes, I'm going to. You don't have to answer. They that have power to hurt and will do none, that do not do the thing that most do feel, who moving others are themselves as steel, unmoved, cold, and to temptation slow. They rightly do inherit heaven's graces, and husband...
Tony Challenge.
I happen to know it goes on longer than a minute.
Have you got any other challenge within the rules of just a minute?
I have nothing to offer.
Happen. Well, the audience enjoyed your interruption, give you a bonus point for that. But Junie gets a point because he was interrupted. He keeps the subject of my favourite poem, 34 seconds, starting now.
I've completely lost the thread of my favourite poem now.
Clement Challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Lost the thread.
Yes, but he was still speaking on the subject of my favourite poem by saying he lost the thread. He can say that. He hasn't deviated in that sense. So I don't think it's a correct challenge. So, Julian, you have another point. You have my favourite poem. You have 31 seconds starting now.
I've kind of lost interest now, but I will carry on.
Yes, Clement.
Repetition of that sentiment.
Yes. No, he said before he lost interest and now he lost the thread. Right, he did repeat the word lost. Right, Clement, you have the subject. You have 28 seconds, my favourite poem, starting now.
My favourite poem is not really suited to just a minute. It is, O Mary, go and call the cattle home, and call the cattle home, and call the cattle home.
Doing a new challenge first.
Repetition, obviously, inevitable.
Yes. But as Clement did it deliberately to get a laugh, and he got a very good reaction, we give him a bonus point for that. You get a point because you interrupted him, correctly interrupted him. 19 seconds, my favourite poem, starting now.
Get off the table, Mabel, the money's for the beer, is a very short poem of which I'm particularly fond. I think it may have been written by Stevie Smith, but I can't be sure. Andrew Marvell used to knock out poems, as did Mr...
Pam Challenge.
A hesitation.
That was a hesitation, Pam. So you have my favourite poem. Trouble is, Pam, I'm sure I know you've got lots of poems, but you've only got 5 seconds to tell us all about your 5 favourite poems. So you start now.
I wish I'd looked after me teeth and spotted the dangers.
It's also my favourite poem of all the wonderful ones you've written, Pam. What's the second line?
And spotted the dangers beneath, all the toffees I chewed and the sweet, sticky food. I wish I'd looked after me teeth. It does go on then for several yards.
Pam, you were speaking as a whistle wind. You're getting the extra point for doing so, and you've got a few points there. Tony Hawkes, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is...
Did you look after your teeth, though, really?
No, not very well, but they are mine, but they are fairly well repaired.
Right. The subject now is loveys. Tony, your turn to begin. 60 seconds, starting now.
One of the requisites of being a lovey is to boom out sentences saying, "Darling, do you remember the time we played the New Theatre, Oxford, and what an audience we had? They complained about the microphones." Oh, I'm not going back there, I tell you. And also, a cravat is quite a good thing for a lovey to wear. I've seen Nicholas doing this sort of thing, actually, and telling stories about rep. I've heard him do that on this show, so perhaps this man is a lovey. I put it to you, ladies and gentlemen. They're saying no, they don't want me to talk about him anymore. I can see their point of view. Let's move on to something...
The challenge...
Yeah, hesitation.
He did hesitate, Pam, so you've got in with 19 seconds to go on Loveys, starting now.
I saw Prunella Scales presenting a workshop on something theatrical on television, and she did actually address one of her students as Lovey and was instantly mortified, flung her hands up to her face and said, "Oh, no!"
Pam was speaking as a whistle wing. Gained that extra point. The situation now is Julian Clare is in a very strong lead. Pam Ayres follows Tony Hawkes and Clement Freud in that order. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is existentialism. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
It's not going to be very easy for me to talk for 60 seconds on existentialism, which is a philosophy dealing with gazing at...
Julian challenged.
Well, don't put yourself through it then.
Julian, that was a lovely remark. The audience enjoyed it. We give you a bonus point for that. But he wasn't actually deviating, hesitating, or repeating anything. So he keeps the subject. He gets a point for being interrupted. 52 seconds still with you, Clement. Existentialism starting now.
I didn't actually hear what Julian said.
Tony challenge.
There was a hesitation there.
There was a hesitation, yes. He actually said, "Don't put yourself through it." Which seemed to be quite an apt remark, considering you said you didn't...
It really doesn't
speak into his microphone.
Right. But it doesn't make any difference. You won a point from it.
Did I?
Yes, you got a point. You picked the subject. But this time you lost it because it was a hesitation. Uh-huh. And Tony, you've got it. Existentialism, 48 seconds, starting now.
"I wish I'd looked after my teeth" is, in some ways, an existentialist statement. Existentialists actually believe that it's a totally meaningless universe and that the religious people who find meaning in all sorts of things are flawed in their thinking. And I happen to...
Julian, new challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was. What a subject. 26 seconds for you, Julian, on existentialism, starting now.
I can only suppose that existentialism is a way of trying to unravel the meaning of life, which is not something any of us should dwell on. Best to just carry on from one day to the next and enjoy the present moment. Try and live in the here and now is my advice. Not that anyone cares, and I haven't written any books on this subject. It's terribly highbrow, and I'm a lowbrow kind of person.
Tony challenged.
Yes, repetition of brow, I'm afraid.
Yeah, too much brow, yes. So, Tony, you got in with 4 seconds to go. Existentialism starting now.
"I wandered lonely as a cloud" is not necessarily something that an extension...
So, Tony Hawkes speaking as a whistle wind with other points in the round has moved forward. He's still behind our leader, Julian Clary. He's just ahead of Pam Ayres and Clement Freud in that situation and that order, or that sequence, I should say. And Pam Ayres, your turn to begin. The subject is now killjoys. Tell us something about killjoys in just a minute, starting now.
Beware of killjoys. People who say things like, you'll be lucky, and in your dreams, and of all the stupid harebrained schemes I ever heard, that one really takes the biscuit. This is the parlance of the killjoy. And I knew a killjoy once. She was a publisher. I rang her up and said, would you like to publish my poems?
No.
No, it's wrong.
No, wrong.
You said publish and publisher.
Yes, it was,
and,
yes.
It was wrong. It was quick in the door, but you were interrupted, so you get a point for that.
Thank you.
And you have 33 seconds to continue. Killjoys, by the way, it's the plural on the card. Do you want to be aware of that?
Thank
Killjoys.
Thanks.
Starting now.
She said no. Go home, she advised. Poetry.
Come and challenge.
Three she's.
Oh, yes.
Two blows.
Two blows. He let two go, but he couldn't resist the third one. So, Clement, correct challenge, 28 seconds. Killjoys, starting now.
Killjoys is the middle name of Robert Ilk. A... a politician who has founded his own political party... and is going precisely nowhere with it. I think Killjoys, as he's known by his enemies, he has few friends, is...
Julian challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was a hesitation, yes. You were going so well, Clement.
I was thinking about
it. I know. You're almost resting on your laurels of that brilliant reaction you got from there. It was very, very witty, I thought. No, it was really... most impressed. Where were we? Yes, you challenge, Julian, with 4 seconds to go. Killjoys is with you now, starting now.
The age of consent for homosexuals for many years was 21, but for heterosexuals...
So Julian Clary was again speaking as the whistle went, has increased his lead at the end of the round, ahead of Tony Hawkes, Graham Ayres and Clement Freud in that order. And Tony, your turn to begin. The subject now, a snake in the grass. Ooh, said the audience. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
A snake in the grass is probably an expression that comes from the fact that a snake in the grass is usually quite difficult to see. Although, that would depend on the length of the grass, for instance.
Pam, challenge.
No, sorry, I just recognised the two grasses, but probably
right, yeah.
I should have kept my finger off the buzzer.
Because you can repeat any word which is in there.
Yeah, sorry.
Phrase.
Sorry, Tony.
No, don't
right.
apologise.
I am abject.
I get an extra. I get an extra point.
We love the keenness. Tony doesn't mind because he gets an extra point because it was incorrect challenge. He carries on. 48 seconds. A snake in the grass. Starting now.
If you were on a putting green, for instance, like Tiger Woods, and a snake were to come towards you, you'd probably spot it. We know for a fact that this golfer has been bitten by very few snakes. And there are no books you can check that fact in.
Pam, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yeah, I think so. Yes, definitely.
I think it was poor.
I think you were running out of steam.
I had enough.
So, yes. So, you, Pam, you've got in on the subject. A snake in the grass, 31 seconds, starting now.
Long ago, in the hills above the village of Bybury in Gloucestershire, I was walking with my boyfriend, Jeremy, and to my horror, I saw, slithering away from me in the bracken and other undergrowth, a adder. No, Anne.
Called Anne, this adder, was it?
Yes.
Anne
the adder.
Old Anne, yes.
So, Julian, you challenge first.
It was hesitation.
12
yes.
seconds. You tell us something about a snake in the grass, starting now.
A snake in the grass, there but for a small typographical error. Is...
Tell me, challenge.
How are you spelling that? No. I think he hesitated.
We call that hesitation.
I do.
So you got in again, Tony, on a snake in the grass. 7 seconds starting now.
Possibly someone within a company who was sneaking on the boss, selling information to another enterprise might be considered to be a snake.
So So, at the end of that round, Tony Hawk, speaking as a whistle, Wayne gained the extra point. He gained others in the round. He's moved forward. He's now only one behind our leader, Julian Clary, but they're both some points ahead of Clement Freud and Pam Ayres, who are equal in third place. Clement, it's your turn to begin, and the subject now is a dark horse. Tell us something about a dark horse in this game, starting now.
Oddly enough, a dark horse can be white, grey, brown, dappled, piebald, skewbald. The thing about dark horses is that you don't know what they are on about. A dark horse can be a terrifically good-looking horse that has no speed, or vice versa. In bookmaking circles, a dark horse is usually referred to as an equine.
Julian, challenge.
Hesitation.
I call that hesitation too, Julian. 35 seconds now with you. Correct challenge. A dark horse starting now.
Many years ago, I thought I was on my own in a field in the countryside in Wiltshire. However, I heard a snorting noise. I turned round. What do you think I saw? It was a dark horse. So I climbed upon him, and what happened next still gives me nightmares. I was bucked horribly to within an inch of my life. So, a dark horse is not to be mounted in my considerable experience. I prefer a light-coloured horse, but I may be accused of deviation, so I'll stick to the subject. A dark horse is, of course, a kind of euphemism for someone who creeps around and you can't trust them.
Julian, you're really flying tonight. Not only you keep going for a long time, but you get the extra point for speaking as the whistle went. You've increased your lead over Tony Hawkes, Clement Freud and Pam Ayres in that order. And Pam, we're back with you to start. And the subject now is the 50s. I don't know how much your experience was of that particular era or period, but tell us something about it if you can. 60 seconds, starting now.
In our village in the 50s, we had a sweet shop run by a lady called Mrs. Miles, and I used to stop there and buy coconut macaroons, which had a brown top and a white stalk and were yummy. One day, she gave me back the ration book and said, "We don't need this anymore, Pammy." And so for me, the end of rationing meant an even bigger bag of the tooth-rotting fungi.
Clever challenge.
Repetition of bag, I'm afraid.
Oh, blow.
Yes. Clever, a correct challenge. You have 31 seconds. The 50s starting now.
I remember my 50s pretty well. It was about 30 years ago. And I had a wonderful time. I had lots of hair, no beard.
Pam, challenge.
I thought that was a hesitation.
No, not quite.
Not really.
No,
okay.
No,
I'm just feeling got at.
Well, give her a bonus point. She mustn't get a lovely pound.
Oh, thank you.
She hasn't paid as much as others. But it was an incorrect challenge. He was going at his usual measured delivery on that occasion. So, Clement, 23 seconds, the 50s, starting now.
In my 50s, I went to my village in Suffolk, which is called Warberswick, and there was a sweet shop and a nice man called Mr. Reynolds, to whom I said, "I would like a chocolate macaroon." He said, "No way, there's no..."
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of said.
Yes, you did say. You said before. Twice said.
I said, he said. And you were saying everything that she'd said as well.
Well, the wicked thing about this game is you can do that.
Yes.
See if you do it now. 7 seconds, the 50s, starting now.
I wasn't actually around in the 50s because I'm such a youthful thing. However, I do know my history and rock and roll.
Tony Hawk speaking as a whistle, when gained that extra point. And we're moving into the last round. Aww. I expected more than that. And I will give you the situation as we do, because Tony has moved forward again. He's still one behind our leader, Julian Clary, and then Clement Freud and Pam Ayres come a few points behind them, but they're quite strongly paced in third and fourth position. And Julian, it's your turn to begin. The subject is singing telegrams. Tell us something about that subject in just a minute, starting now.
Many years ago, before I came a national treasure and a household name, I used to scratch a living as a singing telegram. For £25, you could have had me knocking on your doorstep dressed as Tarzan. I also, at Christmas time, used to don a green leotard, and believe it or not, I was known as the human Christmas tree, which was very, very festive as singing telegrams.
Tony challenged.
Did he repeat Christmas? Did he say at Christmas time and that used to...
No, I don't think so.
I used to be a Christmas tree at Christmas time. How did he refer to Christmas the first time?
I was so much enjoying it, for once I switched off. It started. I don't think you did say Christmas time, didn't you?
Are you switched on now?
Yes, I'm switched on now. Yes. Yeah. It was a Christmas tree at Christmas time. Yes, you did talk about Christmas time. I remember now. I've just done a quick recall on the. And with Christmas tree. So the Christmas was repeated. So, Tony, singing telegrams with you, 37 seconds starting now.
Singing telegrams have offered actors and actresses who've been unable to find parts in plays a wonderful opportunity to supplement their meagre income. That is, if they're in rep, of course.
Julie, new challenge.
I was only testing to see if you were switched on.
I think you got your answer, didn't you?
Right.
And I don't know that you were.
Yes, I am. I'm switched on, and your reaction was great, so give him a bonus point. But Tony was interrupted, so he gets a point. 25 seconds, singing telegrams starting now.
I am fascinated by this former life of Julian Clary as a singing telegram, and when this show is over, I will quiz him in the dressing room about...
Julian challenge.
You certainly won't. I've got a car waiting outside. I won't be in the dressing room.
Julian, the audience enjoyed your comments, so we give you a bonus point for that. But Tony was interrupted, so he gets a point for that. He keeps the subject, singing telegrams, 16 seconds starting now.
I often wonder what sort of a person wants their telegram sung. What if it's a terrible piece of news? This would be awful if they did sing it to the tune of, say...
Pam challenge.
Sing.
Yes.
No, it was sung sing and song, really, wasn't it?
It was sung, yes.
Sorry about that. I'm just feeling got at again.
But he did repeat the word telegram, and it's telegrams on the card.
That's what I meant.
Yes,
that's what I meant.
And I thought, as the other two are equal at the moment, and you haven't done it so often...
And I'm lagging behind.
And you're lagging a little, and we're bringing the show to a close. I thought it'd be only apt, because we're in Oxford, and you come from Oxfordshire. I thought it'd be nice to finish with Pam Ayres. 2 seconds ago, singing telegram starting now.
Dressed as a singing telegram, I...
But let me give you the final situation. Clement Freud, for once, which is unusual, finished up just in fourth place. He was 3 points behind Pam Ayres, who was in a very powerful second place. He nearly caught these two fellows sitting on my left, but a very fair result. Julian Clary and Tony Hawkes are equal together in the lead, so we say they are joint winners this week. So thank you. It only remains... for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Pam Ayres, Julian Clary, Tony Hawkes and Clement Freud. I thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me with the score and blown her whistle with such panache when their 60 seconds was up. We thank our producer-director, who's Claire Jones. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we are very grateful to this lovely audience in the New Theatre in Oxford, who've cheered us on our way. So from them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and this wonderful panel, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.